Good afternoon. This is Nevin Campanella welcoming you to the BBS production of TNT Radio, your net radio news source. Good afternoon, folks. Wasn't that a hell of an introduction? This is the first show for TNT Radio, and we have a reporter that will be with us in a few minutes, but I want to make a few announcements first. First of all, how are we going to conduct a show? I don't have a clue, but Don thinks I do. So it's going to be a fun day. There's a lot of news to report. It all comes across through the trusted news freighter. Please post your messages, and we will go down the list and get as much of it as we can. We only have 55 minutes to do this in, so it's not a whole lot of time, but there is a whole lot of news. Next on the list, write to me. If you want to join the TNT news team, send me an email. As a matter of fact, you'll find a post about it on the TNT board. But you can just write down right now, woodlandstar@hotmail.com. Now, that's my public email address. When you write to me, I will reply back on my private email. Let's see, what else have we got going? I think that is about it. Is that it? Yeah, I think so. Lance, are you there?
I am here, Nevin.
Okay, give us a report.
All righty. Well, I really congratulate you on starting this show. I hope it's a great success, and I know it will be. And the reason why I'm here today is because you asked me to review a post that I made to the TNT board. And what this is it's an excerpt from a book which is titled, Why is Religious Fundamentalism Growing in Today's World and What is the Real Alternative? I didn't know that Nevin was going to ask me to actually analyze this lengthy excerpt, but I did, and I came to some conclusions about it. Apparently, the author, whose name is Bob Avakian, starts out talking about the capitalist accumulation in a world dominated by the capitalist imperialist system. Okay. So globalization apparently has driven third world people out of the farmlands where they used to live and into an oppressive condition where they don't have any form of survival. These sprawling shanty towns are sprouting up all over the globe. So basically the farmland is being used for industrial purposes, and these people that used to be on the farms are being driven out of their homes. And that creates a ring of slums. Now, he lays down a very potent argument that the CIA during the 1950s, in conjunction with the Israeli group, had fundamentally toppled one regime after another because they didn't want communism to take over. They were afraid of Russia and China. And so in clandestine operations, which are, you know, the documents have been released, so we know these things are facts, the CIA overthrew one person after another that was leaning in a communist direction. So that created a great deal of turmoil, and it created also a reaction in the other direction. And so he goes on to say that they pulled off all of these bloody coups, and the net result is that we have a resurgence of a reaction to those events that, you know, we basically began. Now, he comes to the conclusion at the end of this excerpt that the salvation for man is to halt the growth of imperialism and capitalism. So I didn't get to the fine lines until the very end, where he does mention that he believes that through the communist revolution, society can wrest control out of the hands of the imperialists and the exploiters, capitalism, a la Marxism, and to eliminate all class distinctions. So he has an agenda. He's basically, redigesting the Marxist philosophy that people should have, you know, there shouldn't be any class distinctions and that the huge disparity between the elite and the wealthy and the middle class and the lower class, which is exploiting the poor people around the globe, that that's a fact, would come to an end. Now, here's the problem with that. It's thinking inside the box. Every time we go through one of these changes, whether it's socialism, communism, or capitalism, or whatever the ism, those are all basically the same thing. It's all in the box. One system replaces another, and then it becomes just as corrupt and greedy as the last one, and then that creates its own reaction, and it's just one broken record after another. What I believe needs to happen is a turn away on an individual basis of materialism. And this is a very difficult thing to comprehend because I say that we're in a time that people need to turn to spirit. And it costs nothing to do this. And it hurts no one. And the bottom line is that we have lost our ability to connect to our own spirits. And this is the real malady, which no one is addressing, and all of these Band-Aid solutions and radical movements and, we need to do this and we need to do that, that's just a bunch of crap. So he made some valid points about some of the mistakes we've made along the way, but we should learn from those mistakes. And so as I see the problem today, it's a lack of spirit, and I mean real spirit, not just people going to church and going through the motions. I mean really connecting to all that is and seeing that we are all one and united. This is an entirely different way of thinking, and the energies on this planet are shifting. And so it was interesting to read this, and I'm glad I did it, but I don't think it offers any viable solution. I think my own self, I decided that I was going to turn away from materialism and see what happened. And so far, it's been an interesting ride. And I guarantee you, you'll find that you'll be in alignment with all that is, and all that isn't just falls away by the wayside.
Lance, I got a couple of questions for you.
Yeah.
You kind of implied that there is some sort of change now taking place on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
What did you mean by that?
Well, I've done extensive research on this subject, and I don't pretend to be an expert, but I as you know, I have my own show on PBS, and I've had dozens and dozens of guests who are from the, like I would say, mainly from the New Age area, and they all, in fact, my guest tomorrow night is Dr. John J. Harper, and he wrote a book called Transformers, Shamans of the 21st Century. And what's consistently stated by everybody that's in this New Age movement or in this wave of new consciousness or this coming shift is that at some point, and many people point to the Mayan calendar of December 21st, 2012, there is going to be a complete shift because the planets are aligning in a certain way that it's like the odometer rolling over. There are 26,000-year cycles, million-year cycles, trillion-year cycles, and so on. And in 2012, all of those different cosmic cycles that operate with, at different time frames, they all reset to zero. And the Mayans apparently knew this. And so there's a huge movement going on all over the globe of light workers and people who are working towards a peaceful shift because the planet herself, or the Earth, is rising in vibration. We see global warming coming, and that is a result of these higher energies that are being beamed onto the planet live. And those people, those of us who are more sensitive and who open up to it are catching these energies and riding with the wave.
Well, thank you for your explanation, man. Some of it goes over the top of my head. I am not a metaphysical person, although I've done a lot of interviews with metaphysical people. I do have one more question for
okay.
you. How did you like what you just did?
How did I like what I just did?
Yep. I had Don call you. You got on the air. You made a report. What was your feeling?
I liked it. I thought it was fun. I enjoyed it.
Are you ready to join the team?
I don't know.
I go right for the throat, Lance.
I would do it again. Yes, I would do it again. Joining the team, maybe. I'll think about that. Sure.
All right. Well, Lance, I got to say goodbye to you.
Okay.
And thanks so much for the report.
All right. Thanks a lot, Nevin, and best of luck. You're doing a great job.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye bye.
Well, folks, we will continue now with the news. Now, let me warn you. I am using Skype, and I'm about to click on a link. Sometimes things seem to shatter when this occurs, but I'm going to give it a shot. I want to cover Internet censorship law passed unanimously. Now, let's hope we get a... Aha! And I think I'm still on the air. At least I hope I am. This, by the way, is by Lance. He goes under the handle of Zany Mystic. And Lance writes quite a bit on the TNT board. He's got a lot to say, and some of it is extremely interesting. This is a very good article. Let me read some parts. Quote, the U.S. House of Representatives on Wednesday overwhelmingly approved a bill saying that anyone offering an open Wi-Fi connection to the public must report illegal images, including obscene cartoons and drawings, or face fines of up to $300,000. The broad definition would cover individuals, coffee shops, libraries, hotels, and even some government agencies that provide Wi-Fi. It also sweeps in social networking sites, domain name registrars, internet service providers, and email service providers such as Hotmail and Gmail. And it may require that the complete contents of the user's account be retained for subsequent, get this, police inspection. Ho, 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 and happy, happy, happy New Year's are coming. Can you believe it, folks? We are going to have the Met Police. Now, let me tell you something about Wi-Fi and what this would mean. First of all, you can get in your car with your laptop, ride down the road, and connect into any operating Wi-Fi system that does not require a password. Guess what? The majority of Wi-Fi systems don't require passwords. What is that going to mean? In the future, it's going to necessitate another law. And that law will be that if you have a Wi-Fi operating, you're going to have to require all users to have a password into the system. How else can you possibly do it if this bill goes through? Now, so far, it's the House of Representatives. Because it would mean that you, as an owner of a Wi-Fi hotspot out of your home, I mean, you're sitting there, you know, you're having coffee, doing your own thing, looking at television, thinking of what you're going to do tomorrow. Somebody's tying into your computer, into your Wi-Fi hotspot, and they're uploading indecent images, whatever the hell that means. Guess what? You're responsible. I mean, folks, this is going to get really weird. I understand responsibility. Believe me, I really understand it. But I'm not sure about this bill. Because, I mean, there are people out there, people who, you know, for Christmas, they're going to get a computer and a router and a connection to a DSL, and they're going to be broadcasting it through their house, and they're going to, consequently, somebody's going to be able to pick up on it and load obscene cartoons and drawings. Well, I said before, and I'm going to say it again, our society is about to undergo some major, mega sociological changes. Government is getting bigger. We get more and more laws. Do we need them? Who are we protecting with this particular law? No one. my answer to the House of Representatives and to the senators, should they sign on to their own form of this bill, and everyone else on this damn planet, is the parent is responsible for the child. It begins there, it ends there. If you don't want children seeing obscene cartoons, then you, as a parent, are responsible, not the rest of the planet. Okay, on to the next story. Next one is, intelligence agencies know 911 was an inside job. There's an interesting background on this. This, by the way, is also by Lance, our, I guess I'm going to have to start calling him our California reporter. The information around this is really strange, and I'll get to the post in a second, but I want to mention a few things that have happened on the air recently. Most of you who are listening, if there's anybody out there at all, know Rosie O'Donnell. And you know she's a comedian, and she has her own take on what happened on 911. And she does believe it's a conspiracy. She gets a lot of grief for this. A lot of grief. Was there a conspiracy? How would I know? I have no way of knowing. But the sad part about what I just said, the really sad part, is that I'm implying that, yes, it's possible for our government to have conspired it. I don't know that they did. I am not saying that. I'm simply saying to you that I do not trust our government. And if someone would to ask me the question, would our government actually do such a thing? My answer would be, yes, they would. The only purpose of government is to provide for itself. That's the only purpose of government. The original intent of government was to deliver the mail. You're getting a lot more delivered to you now than the Christmas card. Let me get on to this. This is a diary entry by Mac McKinney. And again, this was posted by Lance on, today, December 7th, which is an infamous day in history, as you all know. Quote, many of us have come to the conclusion that 9/11 was indeed a false flag operation meant to mobilize the country into lockstep and haste-step with the imperial and fascist neocon agenda. Over time, more and more prominent, well-respected individuals have also come to that conclusion and have stated at least their skepticism of the official 9/11 Commission version of reality. But now, we have a shocker. Corps tells at Ground Zero, which is the source for this, notes the sharp 45-degree cut with molten slag on the massive steel column in the far background. Quite a glaring contradiction to the official theory that the Twin Towers simply collapsed spontaneously from fire and impact. This had to have been quite a talented cataclysm to make such a neat cut. Any steelworker or demolition expert will immediately recognize that such a cut in steel could only be made with some kind of a torch or other method that can produce intense, sharply focused heat and energy, leaving the telltale slag. But this steel is way too thick for a torch. That leaves one other obvious suspect. A shaped cutter charge. Well, folks, you just heard it. I read it verbatim as it was posted. There's much more. And it's kind of a lengthy post. I don't want to go through the whole thing. But the evidence suggests that it certainly wasn't something that occurred spontaneously from fire and impact, that something was used to specifically make the cut. Also, I want to add in this broadcast, and this is probably a good time to do it, that you'll hear me project, you'll hear me become intense. What I am doing is I'm giving you the intensity of the report as intended by the author. in no way does the sound of my voice or the projection of it have anything to do with what I believe or what is believed by the management of BBS Productions. When it is my opinion, I will tell you that. If it is the opinion of BBS Productions, Don will come online and say so. So, do not use the sound of my voice to assume that I am in agreement with whatever I am reading or saying. I will always let you know when it is my opinion. On to the next one. Where are we at? All the makings of a carnival. This is by Lance, and actually, I don't think I even need to read it, because I'm kind of familiar with what's going on. Basically, folks, it comes down to this. Our Congress looks like a romper room on steroids, at least according to the New York Times. People are just not acting in an adult fashion. There's just so much infighting. Nothing is getting done. Nothing is getting done. I mean, sometimes I don't know whether that's good or that's bad. Sometimes I think, well, if Congress doesn't touch anything, it can't be all bad. At least they're not creating more trouble. But there are some things that really do need to get done. Let me read a little bit here. Mr. Reed, who turned 68 on Sunday and power walks for miles a day, ultimately did not perform any gymnastics, but his fury over the inability to move the Democrats' legislative agenda seemed to have deepened since Tuesday, when he accused President Bush of, quote, pulling the strings on the 49 puppets he has here in the Senate, end quote. That reference to the Republicans in a speech on the Senate floor prompted Senator Alan Spector, Republican of Pennsylvania, to accuse Mr. Reed of violating a rule prohibiting senators from imputing, quote, any conduct or motive unworthy or unbecoming a senator, end quote. It is my view that being called a puppet is in direct violation of that rule, Mr. Spector said. He added, quote, I wonder if he is up to the job when he resorts to that kind of statement, which only furthers the level of rancor. Well, folks, what are they doing in Congress? Not much. And whatever, I can tell you this, whatever they do, it's not going to be on your behalf. It will be on behalf of the congressman and on behalf of whoever is sitting in the White House. My opinion. Are you ready? This is not on TNT News Board. This is my opinion. What is going on in Washington, D.C.? What kind of state of affairs are we in, and who's to blame? You want to know who's to blame? You really want to know the answer to that? We are. We put them there. So if you want to blame somebody for the antics going on in Washington, D.C., point the finger at yourself. Oh, yes, George Bush, man's totally insane. Congress, bunch of incompetent idiots. But who put them there? We did. What did you, at the personal level, do about it? I haven't voted since the days just preceding Jimmy Carter. That was the last time I voted. Why not? Why didn't I vote afterwards? Hell, I voted for Jimmy Carter and he gave away the Panama Canal. I gave up. That was wrong. That was wrong. Because there are a lot of other people like me who have backed off. We have said the hell with it. Let them have it. Let them turn it to a mess. Let them do with it whatever they want. Just leave me alone. Guess what? You cannot be left alone on this planet. You are not on this planet by yourself, and you will be affected by it. Your children will be affected by it. The damn butterflies in May will be affected by it. These idiots in Washington, D.C. are getting ready to destroy your life and the life of your children and your children's children. Will we see tyranny? You know, folks, we're getting close. The energy non-crisis. This. this was a fascinating video. What does that mean, the energy non-crisis? Well, first of all, it was posted by Mad Dog. It's a video. It's on Google.com. The link for it is there. I watched it. What is interesting is, first of all, the speaker, I think he is a minister, is an excellent speaker. He really is. And he makes a damn good case for there is no energy crisis. He claims that right now in Alaska, remember we own that? In Alaska, there is 200 years of oil available to us. Damn, that's a long time. I mean, I don't expect to be on the planet much longer, given my age. 200 years? I mean, we've got 200 years of enough oil to run our cars? You know, do I know that it's true? I have no idea. However, I got to add this. I've been recently reading a book by Michael Crichton. And the name of the book is something about fear. I can't remember. Hold on. Jill is getting the title. The State of Fear, that's the name of the book. You know, this is a work of fiction. However, the story is based on real material you can go and access. You can actually go find the same material that he did, and he wrote a book around it. What kind of material? Well, it's fascinating. The graphs that he demonstrates in terms of temperature in the United States, you know, our ground temperature, how hot is the ground? Well, yes, it does show a recent rise, but there was a clump of years not too long ago when it showed a decrease. How do you interpret such material? Does that mean there is no warming of the globe? No, I don't think so. But I think that we are too ready and too willing to just accept short, simple answers to extremely complicated questions, because that's what we're like. We don't have the time for long, lengthy answers. You know, we have to go out to McDonald's and go get that Blubber Burger. I don't have time to actually sit down and read this stuff and try to figure out what is really going on. That's the mistake I made years ago. I'm trying to do a lot of catch-up right now. And are you ready for this, folks? This is a good one. called The Golden Compass. You know, it's a children's movie. Somewhat on the order of Narnia, which, by the way, I saw. Excellent movie. Well, Fox News, they just got their shorts in a twist over this movie. All day long, Fox News is reporting from the right-wing Christian coalition, Catholic coalition, some sort of religious coalition, that this movie is rotting the brains of your children, or it will rot them. I've never seen such a fury over a children's film. I haven't seen it. I had no intention of seeing it. I don't have any small kids around me. But guess what? After all that hullabaloo, you bet I'm going to go watch it. According to Fox News reporters, you know Edie? You know Edie, don't you? I don't know why. I seem to have an intense dislike for her. Anyway, she just loves reporting about things that are going to corrupt the morals of your children or you. according to Fox News, the movie teaches something to the effect of God is dead. How they arrive at that conclusion, I don't have a clue. But if you turn to Fox News today, about every 10 minutes they're going to give you broadcasts from some religious group that's going after the throats of the author, the writers, the producers, and the directors. What nonsense. What absolute nonsense. It's why is it nonsense? Well, think about this for a minute. Not one of them would prevent their own child from watching a film on the LMN station or from a Disney film on Santa Claus and flying reindeer. What does Santa Claus have to do with the universe and the universe of religion? Not a lot. You know, these people just pick and choose. I mean, they really do. Who are we going to jump on this week? It's getting strange. It's getting strange out there, and I think I'm leading the band. We have a newsletter from Dr. Leonard Horowitz, and this I am going to read to you in full. It is the Health Science Communications for People Around the World. And let's see, date originally mailed was November 26th. The title is War on Terror, Exposed as a Lucrative Anti-American Genocide. Interesting title. Excuse me, I'm taking a sip of coffee. Okay, Sandpoint, Idaho, U.S. government agencies are conducting a genocidal campaign against Americans, according to a leading public health and intelligence agency analyst, Dr. Leonard G. Horowitz. His new documentary, quote, In Lies We Trust, the CIA, Hollywood, and Bioterrorism, exposes the corporations and politicians advancing the, quote, war on terror as American traitors for manipulating, maiming, and killing millions of unwitting citizens. In an urgent life-saving plea for sanity in the administration of domestic policies in the war on terror, Dr. Horowitz, a Harvard-trained, internationally acclaimed humanitarian, has gifted this production free of copyright restrictions to the American people as a last-ditch effort to awaken the nation to what amounts to genocide, the mass killing, fear-mongering, and pharmaceutical enslaving of people for profit. Last summer, the Department of Homeland Security, allied with the Department of Health and Human Services, launched a 24-hour Dish Network channel devoted to national preparedness. When Dr. Horowitz viewed their feature film, History of Bioterrorism, he was appalled by the propaganda. Determined to set the record straight, he spent the next 6 months preparing this hard-hitting exposé. In Lies We Trust weaves famous Hollywood film footage with critical commentaries to show how and why the CIA is conditioning Americans to accept new wars, deadly drugs, and poisonous vaccines, sickening and killing millions of trusting victims. Otherwise known as population reduction or population control, the war on terror, like the war on cancer and the war on AIDS, affords policymakers the cover to administer profitable population manipulation under the guise of public health and national security, according to secretive reports shown in the film. The most compelling documents are now freely downloadable at www.inliesweetrust.com. Officials say parents need to ready their families for emergencies by getting emergency kits, prepaid calling cards, air filtration systems, and vaccinations. Dr. Horowitz's evidence shows those profiteering most from these recommendations are the least trustworthy foreign corporations and politicians in America. It is one thing to tell Americans get prepared for emergency and another to violate common sense in the public's trust, Dr. Horowitz said. The government's history of bioterrorism lacks historic accuracy, general credibility, and audience sensitivity. This propaganda is an essential part of their war on terror, luring Americans, particularly millions of people, already depressed or phobic, into more serious psychopathologies, drug addictions, vaccine toxicities, and pharmaceutical dependencies, restricting life, liberty, and everyone's pursuit of happiness. These are sadly the objectives to which Americans must awaken to save their lives. Well, I'm not going to read any more of it. That is very potent. And I want to spend a couple of minutes talking about some of these things that Dr. Horowitz is talking about. Let's get down to pharmaceutical dependencies. Have you noticed that everything is now a disease? Yeah, everything is a disease. No one has responsibility for anything anymore. All your behavior is a disease. You are now diseased, no matter what it is. Talk nasty to your family, that's a disease of nasty talk. You don't have diseases, folks. You got a hell of a Madison Avenue working against the general population. Notice the amount of drugs being advertised on television. I watch a lot of satellite TV. I'm retired. Jill and I live in a trailer. It's wintertime. I usually spend my time painting, oil painting, but I can't at this time of year, so I spend a lot of time watching TV, watching the news. I'm flabbergasted by the amount of drugs being advertised. I mean, it's just one drug after the other. Every other advertisement is a pharmaceutical drug. For something, what's amazing? The side effects of these drugs would take down a Cape Buffalo, but I guess people are buying them. The pursuit of happiness, I guess, comes in the way of getting the right drug. Are we getting phobic, as suggested by Dr. Horowitz? You better believe we are. You better believe we are getting phobic. We are afraid of everything. But, listen to this, folks. Just because you're paranoid doesn't mean someone isn't chasing you. Who's chasing you? Well, I guess I kind of am right now. The government, Big Brother. They are in your face, folks, and they're coming at you. They are coming at you. Is this all a conspiracy? You know, the whole get prepared for emergency, so on and so forth. The bioterrorism. Well, you know, I don't know. Let me say this about conspiracy from the government in terms of what I believe. I don't believe they're smart enough to actually do it. Do I believe there is some conspiracy? Yes, I do. But not from the government. More probably from corporate America. The government, the people working in government just aren't that smart. I mean, they're really not, folks. What they have got going for them is quantity, not quality. Really, keep that in mind when all hell breaks loose. What they rely on is quantity of things, quantity of guns, quantity of bullets, quantity of money, quantity of people. No quality. They don't have it. They simply don't have it. They really can't think outside the box. Please do read the complete newsletter by Dr. It's very important. It really is. Because it's going to give you a sense of what's really going on. What Dr. Horowitz is telling you is don't believe every damn thing you read or hear from the government, or for that matter, what comes out of Nevin's mouth. Find out for yourself. We have 15 minutes left to try to report a lot of news. I think that the entire concept of the news hour is really, really, it's time for it. It really is. It's time for it. There really is no alternate news system. This system will eventually include videotape. I don't know, at some point you might actually be able to see my pretty face on a camcorder of some sort in your computer. I don't know how the equipment works. I don't have a clue. But I know that management of BBS is bound and determined to expand this entire system. And it really is time for this to happen. Because there is no other news. Oh, yeah, there's blogs. You can go on the blogs and try to read the damn things or find them. It's tough. It really is. Believe me, I've been the blog route. How about the CNN News or Fox News? Well, of course, some of it is useful. But both CNN and Fox News slant the news. Hey, I don't know if I have to carve it out for you, but CNN has a tendency to be to the left, and Fox News has a tendency to be to the right. Is it justified? I don't know if there is a real, clear, simple way of getting an accurate news report. The news reporters have to report according to what they are told. They're not reporting just what they've seen and heard in the way of news. They are told how to say it and when to say it. So maybe it really is time for the TNT radio. At some point in time, I mean, obviously, I'm just the beginning stage of this, trying to get something off the ground. At some point in time, people have to be added to this. Broadcasters, other than myself, have to be brought in. There needs to be a TNT radio team. This could go 24/7. You know, if you think about it, TNT radio right now has thousands and thousands of reporters. Yeah, that's right. Because we use the net to gather material. Do you know how much material is out there? It's unreal, folks. I mean, it is unreal. There is no simple way to filter it all down. And there are things that I know we should be talking about that I'm not going to get to today. There's no way. Because there are so many other things going on, and all I'm doing is going down the list on the TNT board. So I guess what I'm asking and what I'm saying is, if you thought about making a difference, you know, can you make a difference? Yeah, you can, but it takes work. It takes work. We need volunteers for TNT radio. Now, I'll tell you what we don't need. I don't need part-time, momentary-type people who get all hyped up. Oh, yeah, this is sounds like a great idea. And then when you put pressure on them to create and produce, they flake out. I don't need that. That'll just slow me down. But if you're ready to roll up your shirt sleeves and join with BBS Productions in launching TNT radio around the planet, write to me. You'll find the article on the TNT message board. It says, join the TNT radio team. You'll find the email address in that post. Write to me. Tell me what you want to do. You want to put information together? Do you want to search for information? Maybe you'd like to broadcast information. I mean, eventually, if this gets moving, obviously we're going to need more than 55 minutes a week. I mean, eventually, this could take a lot of time, a lot of radio time. And BBS Productions is very willing to do it. Just depends on getting it off the ground. And that's what I am. I'm simply trying to help BBS Productions launch what I consider a great idea. So get in touch with me and let me know what you want to do. But keep in mind, I don't want any part-time volunteer stuff. I've been that route. It don't work. On to my most favorite subject, Ann Coulter. Who is Ann Coulter? Folks, if you don't know who Ann Coulter is, get your head out of you-know-what. She preaches hate, bigotry, and racism. That's what she does. Yeah. She preaches it fast and furious. Why? Because she makes money from it. I'm going to read you my own post here. The title of the post is Ann Coulter, She Preaches Hate, Bigotry, and Racism. This is a long read, but worth your time. It is about one of the people in America, Ann Coulter, that needs to be recognized as one who inflames the fires of hate, bigotry, and racism. And understand that one of her strongest supporters is Bill O'Reilly from Fox News. Now, do I suggest you watch the O'Reilly Hour on Fox News? Yes. Yes. If you want to make a difference, you have to be willing to walk into the swamp. And both O'Reilly and Coulter lurk in those dark waters. Yeah, you'll find them lurking around the bottom of the swamp. Now, the article is, in fact, by Taylor Marsh. Let me read a little bit. This is out of a blog, by the way, and it comes from the Huffington Post. You'll see the link to it in the post that I made on TNT. I'm just going to read a little bit of it because I am quickly running out of time here. Quote, when I saw the latest insanity in the New Republic, quote, a defense of Ann Coulter by Elspeth Reeve, I knew it was time to let fly my latest piece. Reeve's article is a beauty. That is, if you like pimping for the Republicans' prime propagandists. Yes, yes, Coulter has said some terrible things, but I don't think it's the terrible things that really bother liberals. Coulter makes us cringe not when she lies, but when she says things we wish weren't true. If you're really looking for the truth about Ann Coulter, I suggest you read on. On the YAF site selling the Ann Coulter poster, this is the description. Quote, the beauty of conservatism, Ann Coulter, best-selling author, witty columnist, and compelling speaker, proves it is possible to be beautiful, intelligent, and conservative. I got to stop here for a minute, folks. Is she beautiful? The lady is anorexic. I don't know what the hell people are talking about when they talk about beauty. I mean, this lady is anorexic. She's got a real problem. She needs to see a shrink. It's important to quote. It's important to note a couple of things. First, they describe her columns as witty. Secondly, that beautiful comes from either intelligent or conservative. Witty and beautiful are her top commodities in the YAF marketplace. But it's the whole package conservatives are taking to the bank, no matter how wrong their right-wing diva can be. I'm not going to read anymore. It's a very lengthy article. And if you want to know what I'm talking about in terms of Ann Coulter, read this article. It's good. It's good. Keep in mind that just because Ann Coulter says something, it does not necessarily mean that she believes in what she's saying. Doesn't mean that at all. She makes a lot of money doing this. And I saw her a number of times on the Bill O'Reilly show on Fox News. I watch it, not faithfully, but after Lou Dobbs on CNN, I usually turn on Bill O'Reilly. And she's often on that show. O'Reilly will always defend her. Is he a bigot? Of course he is. Yeah, Bill O'Reilly's a bigot. do watch Bill O'Reilly. You want to do something about the problems in the U.S.? Walk into the swamp, folks. Next on the list, it can happen to you. Oh, this was an amazing... it's from the Truth Seeker, which, by the way, is in the U.K. It's a blog. Let me read just a little bit to you. Priest protesting torture jailed. Now, this comes out of the Bill Quigley Information Clearinghouse, October 18th, 2007. Louis Vitali, 75, a Franciscan priest, and Steve Kelly, 58, a Jesuit priest, were each sentenced to 5 months in federal prison for attempting to deliver a letter opposing the teaching of torture at Fort Huachuca in Arizona. I'm sorry, I slipped over that, folks. My wife is helping me here with pronunciation, and I've actually driven through there. Both priests were taken directly into jail from the courtroom after sentencing. Fort Huachuca is the headquarters of military intelligence in the U.S. and the place where military and civilian interrogators are taught how to extract information from prisoners. The priests attempted to deliver their letter to Major General Barbara Fast, commander of Fort Huachuca. Fast was previously the head of all military intelligence in Iraq during the atrocities of Abu Ghraib. I know I didn't pronounce that correct. The priests were arrested while kneeling in prayer halfway up the driveway to Fort Huachuca in November 2006. Both priests were charged with trespass on a military base and resisting orders of an officer to stop. In a pretrial hearing, the priests attempted to introduce evidence of torture, murder, and gross violation of human rights in Afghanistan, Iraq, and Guantanamo. Well, I'm not going to go on any further with it. Why I titled it Can Happen to You is because what I'm saying, if you want to protest, you better be careful. You better be careful. And when you do protest, have lots of witnesses with you, because the government is going to come at you. Folks, we are out of time. I know Don's got to get the next show on the air. I don't know how you like the show. Whatever your feelings, good or bad, let Don know. He needs to hear from everyone who has heard the broadcast. Do they want more? Do they want less? Tear it all up or make it grow. That's a wrap, Don.